Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Monday, May 4th. I'm Sarith Hawk. A new HBO docuseries examines the life of famous rock climber Dean Potter. He was known for extraordinary climbing feats at Yosemite National Park.
And so with The Dark Wizard, we're trying to tell the story of this fascinating and complex sort of adventure artist.
We speak with one of the co-directors of The Dark Wizard. That conversation in just a moment.
Valley history is fascinating. Listen to KVPR's Central Valley Roots as we explore the stories of local people and places that make our community unique. Learn something new about our region. Listen to Central Valley Roots wherever you get your podcasts or visit kvpr.org/roots.
And now to our feature story. Half Dome, El Capitan, these iconic rock faces in Yosemite National Park are more than just a tourist attraction. For some athletes, these landmarks are a climber's Shangri-La. One of the biggest stars in the climbing world was a regular fixture in the park until his death there more than a decade ago.
Dean Potter.
Climber, artist, outlaw.
Keep quiet.
He was pioneering this entirely new way of climbing big walls, totally solo.
Dean Potter is the subject of a new HBO documentary, The Dark Wizard. It explores what drove the renowned climber's almost superhuman feats of rock climbing, slacklining, and base jumping. For filmmaker Nick Rosen, this project was a reckoning with his friend Dean's dark side. I recently spoke with Nick, and he told me a little bit more about who Dean Potter was.
Dean Potter was a legendary figure in the world of climbing. You know, for over a decade, kind of dominated the headlines in our world and, you know, in both climbing big walls by himself, really fast, kind of innovated new ways of climbing the towering 3,000 foot walls of Yosemite. Made his name doing really bold, innovative climbs, but then also ventured into other kind of like what he would call aerial arts, highlining, you know, stretching a piece of dynamic webbing across, these huge chasms and canyons and walking them, sometimes tied into the line, sometimes completely untied. And also base jumping, jumping off of cliffs with a parachute and sometimes wearing a sort of flying squirrel suit known as a wing suit that would almost allow him to glide and almost fly. So he was known as this kind of like multifarious adventurer who also just had a sort of larger than life persona and personality and like mystique about him. But, you know, beneath all that stuff, was a fairly complicated, psychologically complex and sort of sensitive, vulnerable human being who was kind of beset by a lot of mental demons, but also, you know, an intense ego and a really sort of competitive drive beneath everything that he was doing. And so with The Dark Wizard, we're trying to tell the story of this fascinating and complex sort of adventure artist.
And do it
in a way that kind of goes beyond just the surface and peels back the layers of Dean Potter.
Absolutely. There's a lot of push and pull about his personality that you document. We'll get to that in just a second. But, you know, he did pass away in 2015 during a Yosemite base jumping accident. You've done a lot of other climbing related films in the past, like The Alpinist and Valley Uprising. What really compelled you to tell Dean's story and why now?
Yeah, it's been 10 years since he passed away. We worked with him for many years filming some of his biggest climbs and exploits. And when he passed away, we knew that at some point his story would have to be told and told almost in a way, I don't mean to sound callous, but in a way that really wouldn't have been possible when he was alive tell a sort of a deeper, more complex story that, you know, I think ultimately Dean would really sort of approve of in his sort of artistic spirit, but was always wrestling too much with himself and his own image to be able to kind of really tell. And, you know, I think why now, as time goes by, I mean, I think what's interesting in the series, and I think you'll notice, is a lot of, like, back in the day, climbers were just these tough macho dudes, and there was a sort of there wasn't the ability that we have today to look back with a kind of sensitive lens on things like, for instance, mental health, and toxic relationships and things like that. And it's interesting now, years later, that folks have enough distance. You can see that there's still some really raw feelings about him and their experience with him, a lot of sort of unresolved, you know, issues that I think will come to light in episodes 3 and 4 that they're still dealing with. But given the distance that they have now, but also the kind of sensitivity and the sort of emotional vocabulary and the new kind of lens to look back on their friend as maybe not just as this incredible hero or this like toxic bully, but someone who with a lot of layers and a lot of pain and a lot of sort of humanity in there. And so that time, that distance, that decade was maybe the right amount of time for people to have the perspective to look back on Dean's life.
So there are, you know, a lot of places around the world that people can climb or jump from, and Yosemite is right in our backyard. It's actually sort of a character in this series. What is it about Yosemite that attracts people from all over the world when it comes to climbing specifically?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there is nowhere else in the world that has this sort of scale and the beauty and the perfection when it comes to climbable rocks in such a accessible place as Yosemite Valley. I mean, El Capitan is this 3,000 foot stage for both cutting edge climbs or just, you know, everyday adventures that you can literally just drive up to and be climbing within minutes. And so Yosemite being this, the weather is really amazing. The access is great. But because of that, it's just had this decades long history of some of the best climbers in the world going there to test themselves against its formidable challenges and to sort of measure themselves against the people who have come before. So it really is this proven ground in the world of climbing.
Yeah, and would you say that was how Dean approached it? What did Yosemite mean to him? He spent a lot of time there, right?
Yeah, I mean, for Dean, it was this competitive proving ground. He went there with a sort of keen knowledge of the history and who'd come before and, you know, what he wanted to do to kind of raise the level. But Dean being Dean, there was it kind of went deeper. I mean, he was a pretty like self-styled spiritual guy. And in his own telling, he had a really sort of deep connection to nature, to animals, and to that valley. And the way that he would describe it is just that, you know, a lot of his sort of inspiration comes from some sort of pure emotion and almost aesthetics. He described himself as an artist. And so he would say that, you know, the scale of these walls and the beauty of this place, you know, brings you to a level that you yourself didn't know what was possible, didn't know was possible for yourself. And therefore, like, you know, it's just that it's sort of this engine of inspiration for him, but also a really a peaceful place of contemplation, of connection. You know, the ravens perched on the cliff almost became a kind of a totem for him.
You also feature a lot of harrowing footage of especially base jumping in Yosemite. And to be clear, these are stunts that are not allowed in the park. So do you think that there's a risk in, you know, maybe glamorizing these activities that have also killed a lot of athletes that have tried it? How does that change your approach as a filmmaker?
Yeah, I don't think that we, for one thing, that we're necessarily glamorizing these activities. I mean, I think if you were to watch this, you know, I think we don't shy away from how absolutely dangerous these things are. And I think it's an oversimplification to say, for instance, the implication being that like someone sees this and goes and tries it. I mean, these are incredibly scary activities to do.
Yeah.
Your own prefrontal cortex is going to probably prevent you from doing anything, hopefully prevent you from doing anything that you haven't assiduously prepared yourself for. I mean, these guys who do it, these guys and women, are masters of their craft. And still, even as masters, they pay the ultimate price. So it's definitely a don't try this at home situation.
Right. Well, you know, so many of your films, you know, going back to the parks, looks back at sort of this wild side of our national parks and landmarks. And because you've spent so much time in these landscapes, have you noticed changes for climbers as our parks have sort of seen reduced resources over time?
It's interesting in terms of like federal budgets and stuff like that. It's, you know, I think it's interesting because back in the day, the federal government was kind of an antagonist to climbers, right? Climbers just wanted to be free and sleep under the stars and sleep wherever they want and climb wherever they want and do their thing and kind of live in the valley and jump up whatever cliff they wanted to. And the federal government and the National Park Service has its own ideas about that. A lot of good reasons for why you can't do that stuff in a place like Yosemite National Park. I have seen and heard that, you know, with these kind of like government shutdowns and ongoing budget crisis, that it is, I think, limited the ability of the National Park Service to engage in the kind of law enforcement that it needs to prevent climbers and stuff from doing all these kinds of things and being too crazy. I mean, at the same time, though, I do think that that kind of wild counterculture lifestyle that Dean really represented and was the figurehead of for so many years, and that kind of would be, in a moment like this, maybe allowed to run wild in Yosemite National Park, has kind of faded a little bit, you know? Yeah. Counterculture in general, I don't think there is quite the same sort of outlaw spirit that once existed in the climbing culture as there is today. Maybe it's coming back. Maybe it'll come back with the, you know, with the advent of budget cuts. But it's just, it's interesting for me as someone who kind of really does appreciate, you know, the sort of counterculture and having freedom in the national parks. Once these, you know, big bad national parks, Dean Potter called them the tool, the rangers, the tool, are start to get cut back, you start to go, oh, wait a second. No, like we need these national parks. We need this federal bureaucracy. We need these rangers to protect this place for future generations. And so a lot of climbers are kind of saying, well, gosh, bring the rangers back, please.
Nick Rosen, co-director of the four-part docuseries, The Dark Wizard, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. It's an honor.
The fourth and final episode of The Dark Wizard premieres on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. and will also be available on HBO Max. And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.